Hi, good morning to you and all of the listeners out there. Don't you just love this time of the year? It's a beautiful day in Chippewa Valley, and I hope it's the same where you are. Say, I'd like to take a few broadcasts and talk about God's wonderful creations. Isn't it easy to take it all for granted? So much is said all through the scriptures about God's handiwork. I love Psalm 19. If you haven't read it lately, why don't you open the Bible and read it sometime today? Psalm 19 beautifully summarizes the testimony of the universe. It shows the work of his fingers and how the constant communication of the heavens are exposed to our eyes and to our ears. The message of the created world is extended everywhere. Are you looking? Are you asking? Are you seeking it? Well, we have to realize and must realize that God is the creator and the ruler of all creation. So I hope in the next few broadcasts, you'll get the picture and give God all the glory. Well, Psalm 19, let me read about six verses, which should stimulate your heart to realize what a great God we love. And let me start out by verse 1, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor low language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." The author of this particular psalm, which I read those six verses, is David, of course, and he was so overwhelmed with God's creation. Maybe he was out in the desert, or maybe he was out in his courtyard, wherever. He's rejoicing, having eyes to see God's creation. And he ends the psalm with these words, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." This is as it should be with all of us, really, as we look around and see the beautiful flowers blooming. The foliage on the trees, isn't it lovely this year with all the rain? The beautiful green grass, and then experiencing so many times the soft rain falling on our faces and on the soil. Yes, we should certainly worship and thank the Lord for the beauty of the earth and for having eyes to see it all. Let me take you today to the book of Job, where the Lord himself describes the earth and some of its contents that he has made for us. First, let me give you just a little background of chapter 38 and 39 of the book of Job. Job knew a lot about life, and he thought he had God all figured out. By using human logic, he knew exactly where he stood and what he could expect from God. Or, let me add this, so he thought. Then Job lost everything and was smitten with boils. His three friends tried to convince him that God was punishing him for some hidden sins. But Job insisted that he was blameless. He felt bad that God wasn't speaking directly to him. He was just sure enough that if he could just present his case before the Lord, or if he could just find someone to arbitrate between himself and God according to the rules of blessings, then he would be vindicated. And here I say again, so he thought. Then Job got his wish. He had a personal encounter with God himself. The Lord addressed him out of a whirlwind. Let me turn now to have my Bible open in front of me to Job 38. And I'm going to read and then just give comments. The Lord here is reminding Job of all the blessings that he's had and has been given to enjoy, and informing him that he has been speaking a lot without knowledge. I guess you can say he had hoof and mouth disease. His challenge is, gird up thy loins like a man, and listen to me. Excuse me while I clear my throat. I have asthma, and sometimes I struggle to get my throat cleared up. So here we are back at the scriptures. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm, and he said, who is this? Speaking to Job, who are you having so much to say? The one that darkens my counsel with words, actually without knowledge. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Good question, isn't it? Tell me, do you understand? Who marked off the world's dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it bursts forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. When I said, thus far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown dawn its place? He's really telling Job, isn't he? That it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth shakes like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment, and their upraised arm is broken. And then he asks another question to Job. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me, Job, if you know all this. Isn't this interesting how we think we know so much when we know really so little. I remember someone said to me one day, "I wish I knew the scriptures like you do." And my answer was, "You know what? The more I know, the more I realize how little I do know and how much more I have to be exposed to learn." So we can never, ever stop learning, right? And that's what God is doing with Job on this chapter 38. He's saying, "You've been speaking so much when you know so little." Let me continue here. "Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered all over the earth? Job, who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain? And who cuts a path for the thunderstorm? Who waters a land where no man lives, a desert with no one on it, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frosts from the heavens when the waters become hard as stone?" Isn't that beautiful? "Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Job, they report to you, 'Here we are.' Who endowed the heart with wisdom? Or who gave understanding to the minds? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of heaven?" Isn't that beautiful? And here we see Job put in his place, realizing that so little is known by him. And here we see Job being challenged by the Lord himself. And by this time, after the Lord speaking, Job is overwhelmed by his own limitations and ignorance. After all, he was not there in the beginning to see creation come about. We see here that God is trying to tell Job that we don't really have to try to figure out why things are the way they are, but we are to trust the Lord day by day and accept our own circumstances and live in peace with the Lord and, of course, enjoy all of his benefits. God had to confront Job in several chapters of that book to the end. And you know what? Job responded by saying, "Oh, things are too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now, Lord, mine eyes sees you. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." And as they say down south, Job was actually getting too big for his britches. That's what my mother would say. He now had a new relationship and appreciation of who God really is. And he realized that he was a vile sinner, guilty as charged. What else can I say today We are all guilty before the Lord. How many of us are just like Job? We forget who God really is and how he relates to our lives every single day. Every time the sun and moon comes up, that should be a reminder that God is in control. Shame on us when we refuse to acknowledge who he really is. And how horrible it is when we think we know what is best for our lives. Job tried to think that he knew the whys and the what-ifs, but he was reminded by the Lord that he is still in charge. Job, don't you remember the words that were written in Genesis chapter 1 when I established the world? Remember? Well, the lesson to learn is that God is all-sufficient and that he loves you and me, and he wants us to acknowledge who he is, very God. I hope that you know the Lord today as your Savior. If not, why not take him now? It's been so good to be with you. Bye-bye.